Bates. Turn your Bibles with me, please, if you would, to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 24, this morning. And as you're turning to Exodus chapter 24, I want to welcome those visiting with us. Amanda Guza, good to have you here from Erie. Sarah Ring from Erie as well. Jamie Perillo, good to have you here from Erie. And Jim Boland, we're glad you're here as well from Erie. Thank you so much for coming and being part of our service today. We appreciate that. Hope you'll come back. We're in Exodus chapter 24. I'd like to begin reading for you at verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you for America. We thank you for the freedoms we enjoy here and the safety and security we enjoy. And Father, we just pray for our country that you'd guide and direct our leaders and help them walk in the way of righteousness. And Father, I pray that you'd help us today as we look into the Word of God, that your Holy Spirit might open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of your people to receive your Word, that you might speak to us today and help us, that you might challenge us and change us, convict us and comfort us, convince us, help us today, Lord, to understand your Word and your actions and interactions with us. I pray you'd magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save those who are lost. And we'll thank you and praise you for all these things. In the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Have you ever wondered why God seems to take so long sometimes? You know, as Christians, as believers, as those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, we enter into a special relationship with God as our Father through Christ our Savior. And God has made great precious promises to us in His Word. And we as His children can rely upon those promises. And one of those promises is, He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And He said we should come boldly before the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. And so God has given us these promises. He said, I want you to come talk to me. I want you to come and pray. I want you to spend time sharing your burdens and your cares and your concerns and your needs with me. But have you ever wondered why God doesn't seem to do things as quickly as you would like Him to do them? Did you ever wonder why it seems like sometimes God's not doing anything at all and you keep praying and you keep asking? I have. And perhaps today we can find some comfort and hope from the life of this man named Moses. You know, we live in an instant, have it now, and fast is too slow society. We want everything a minute ago. I remember when the Mr. Coffee first came out. That was like, wow. Look how fast it makes a pot of coffee. Now it's like, right? Now we got the Keurig and we got the Nespressos and we got these machines that'll give you a cup of coffee within seconds. And it's still too slow. However, some of God's greatest servants had to learn to wait. Isn't that hard to do sometimes? Amen. We're not good at waiting. We don't want to wait in line. We don't want to wait. But you know, it says in the Bible 3 times, wait on the Lord. And it says in the Bible another five times, wait upon the Lord. And the word is wait, 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 wait. I think that we get the idea from reading the accounts of the Bible that things happened to the Bible characters more quickly than they did. We tend to forget that between the recorded events in their lives, there was often years and decades that went by with not much happening. In the reign of King David, every day wasn't filled with fighting giants and battles and miraculous exploits. In the life of Daniel, every day wasn't filled with lion's dens and fiery furnaces. And in the life of the Apostle Paul, it wasn't filled every day with miracles and exciting shipwrecks. These and other Bible personnel spent much of their lives praying and doing the same old thing day after day, day after day, day after day, just like you and I. They had routines. And they had lazy days just like the rest of us. Take Moses, for instance. In one chapter, we see him at a burning bush. He's just a shepherd. A few chapters later, he's calling plagues down upon Egypt against Pharaoh. A few chapters later, he's delivering several million people from bondage. A chapter later, he's crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. But we don't see the regular stuff that went on between those major events. You understand? We just see the major events and we think, wow, look at that. Every day something was wonderful, some miraculous thing, some supernatural thing every single day. No, it wasn't like that. In our passage today, God calls Moses up to the mount. And in verse 12, he says, come up to me into the mount and be there. So God's saying to Moses, I want you in the mount and I'll make sure you be there. In verse 13, Moses obeys. Look what he says. And Moses rose up. That's what was great about Moses. He obeyed God's voice. When God spake, Moses obeyed. We could be more like Moses, don't you think? When we read the scripture and God tells us from his word, shouldn't we just do what he says? I was just talking to a guy the other day. And when I first got saved, I started reading the Bible right at the beginning. I thought that's where the best place to start a book is at the beginning of the book, right? So I started at the beginning of the book. I started reading through and came to Leviticus. A lot of stuff in Leviticus. And for a brand new Christian, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's God's word, right? I remember one day I was at church and one of the men came up to me on a Sunday and said, hey, you want to go hunting with us tomorrow? I went, Christians don't hunt, do they? And he said, yeah. They don't kill animals, do they? Yeah. I said, you show me where it says in the Bible we can hunt and I'll go hunting. So he opened up his Bible, he showed me, and I went hunting. You see, I'd never hunted before in my life. I'd never had a gun in my hand before in my life. But God said I could, so I did. We need to understand when God says something, that's it. That's the final authority. Moses heard God say, I want you to come up in the mount and I want you to be there. And Moses says, I'm on my way. But in verse 16, we find something unusual. God makes Moses wait for 6 days before ever speaking to him. Isn't that amazing? Look at verse 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Can you imagine the excitement of Moses over there in verse 12? He's looking up at this mountain, and on top of this mountain is this cloud. And that's where God was. And in that cloud was like a fire, and it would glow, and it was an amazing supernatural sight. And God said to Moses, I want you to come up there, and I want you to be there. Can you imagine the excitement that Moses must have felt? Wow, I'm going to go, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to go up there and meet God. And then he hurries up and he gets up there as soon as he can and he gets right where God wants him to be. Nothing. And he waits all day. Nothing. And he gets up the next morning and says, oh, bitch it. Nothing. And he gets up the third day, nothing. He gets up the fourth day, waits all day, nothing. He gets up the fifth day, waits all day and all evening, nothing. Gets up the sixth day. He says, man, what's going on here? And he waited and he waited and he waited and nothing happened. Can you imagine the anxiety that must have been building in him? Can you imagine maybe some frustration that he might have felt? I'm sure that at least once he must have wondered what God was doing, why he was taking so long. Why does God want me here? He called me up here, now I'm here, and nothing's happening. You ever feel like that? 6 days is a long time. Sometimes we may get to wondering what God is doing or why he doesn't seem to be doing anything in our family or our ministry or our church or our circumstances. But you see, it's not how quickly God responds to me, but how quickly I respond to God that really counts, isn't it? I want to share with you several reasons that could explain why God made Moses wait so long. But first, remember this. Number one, Moses is obediently right where God has called him to be. Number two, Moses is right with God. Number three, God is waiting in order to make Moses wait. So why did God wait? Let me suggest several reasons. Number one, God is trying Moses' patience. I'm reminded of James chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, a synonym for that word patient is mature. You know, it says, let patience have her perfecting work. Mature people, the more mature we are, the more patient we can be. Now, who's the most impatient person on planet Earth? Yeah, a little baby, right? They have no patience. They don't care what time of day it is. They don't care where you're at. They don't care how you feel. They just want what they want, and they want it now. And they will kick and fuss and scream and cry and drive you nuts till you come and take care of the situation. But as they grow, you want them to learn patience. Patience is a mature thing. And as they get older and older, you hope that they grow out of certain things, right? I remember my children, they had the why. Remember them, that why time? Why? 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 I found the answer. I just said, because God did it. That's the way God did it. God wanted it that way. And then they accept that. But they mature. Patience, God wants us to mature in our faith. We all need a little patience. And the Bible says it's in the trying of our faith that works patience or builds patience. It's like a workout for your faith. You know, how could you have faith? Faith is the substance, the Bible says, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if God instantly gratified every request we made and God instantly took care of every situation, our faith would be very weak, wouldn't it? So waiting is like a workout for faith. It perfects it. It matures us. And God is helping us. Is this man Moses ready to do the job that God has for him, which will require great patience? He's going to be called upon to lead several million people through the wilderness for 40 years. And that's no small task. And it will require a great amount of patience. Now, is Moses the kind of man who will be able, is he up for this? Or is he going to get frustrated and impatient? I can't imagine leading that many people. I can't imagine leading y'all through the wilderness for 40 years. All the things that happen, all the things that go on, he'd have to be patient. Moses has been obedient and responded initially, but what about the long haul? You know, that's what I've seen over the years. It's the long haul. We got a lot of sprint Christians. They're sprinters. They shoot out of the block, and they run, and they use up all their energy, and then they're out of the race. You know what we need? We need long-haul Christians. Christians that get in it, stay in it, and keep going. What's Moses going to be like? God's making him wait. You know, to start something is easy and exciting, but to see it through to the end requires faith, grit, and patience. To begin the race with fresh legs is one thing, but to finish the course with patience is still another thing, isn't it? Is Moses a man of character who will patiently wait, or is he like Saul, who would not wait? If Moses has been an impatient man, he would have missed entering into the cloud. If he would have been impatient, he'd have never got in. What if he had waited till like day 3 and said, well, this ain't working, and left? Or he'd have waited to day 5 and said, well, ain't nothing happening, I'm out of here. Or he would have waited till day 6 and said, you look, I mean, God called me here and ain't nothing going on, so I'm leaving. He'd have missed that 7th day when God opened the cloud's door and said, come on in. I wonder how many of us give up too early and never get to see God do what God wants to do because we were impatient. And so God is trying Moses' patience. Number 2, God is testing Moses' devotion. A lifetime of service is in store for Moses. Many great wonders are still to be performed and great decisions to be made. And is Moses' devotion to God such that he'll be satisfied with limited knowledge? The children of Israel will spend 40 years stopping and starting, waiting and moving. Does Moses understand his total dependence upon God to the point that he will obey God's last command until he is given another command? We get antsy. And so God would bring the children of Israel to a certain place and God would stop. And they would have to set up there, millions of them. And they had to set up in specific order. And it was a big process. And they had to put up the tabernacle. And then they had to stay there until God moved. That takes patience, doesn't it? Then they had to tear everything down and pack everything up and go on again until God stopped. And then they had to get everything out and put everything up and build the temple and do all that and stay there. And stay there. And stay there until God said, time to move. That's how God works in our lives. He's trying to teach us we're supposed to depend on Him, not Him on us. Does Moses see his service to the Almighty as a privilege and an honor? Is he humble enough to sit and wait and sit and wait in God's reception room the rest of his life if that is God's will? Sometimes I feel like that when I go to the doctor's office. I don't know why they tell you to be there at 9. I mean, I've got an appointment, right? 9 o'clock. It's my appointment. It's 9 o'clock. I show up at like 5 to 9, and I got to sit there. And sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there. And they always got those lousy shows playing on the yeah. You know. And then they don't even turn down. You can't even hear it. Not only is it a bad show, you can't hear it. And you sit there and you're waiting. You're like, oh, man. Then they ask you to come in, right? Oh, finally. And you get in and they take you to another room and they make you wait there. Yeah. They trick you. They have a little nurse come in with you with a notebook, you know. The doctor will be right with you. No, he won't. What are you lying to me for? You're not gonna. It's another half an hour before the doctor comes in. Then he comes in and he says, how you doing? Better than when I was better when I came than I am now. I get impatient at the doctors. I went into one doctor and he made me wait so long. I got up and went over to the counter. I said, ma'am, I said, you know, I have a busy life. I said, I can't wait any longer. I got to leave. As a matter of fact, I'm going to send the doctor a bill for the time I spent here. Why is his time so valuable and mine's like schmutz, you know? It's like, who cares about your time? I'm just being funny here. I'm not trying to be mean. Well, you know, we've got some, you know, doctors and dentists in the room, so I don't want to, you know. Love ya. Good. The point is that God is not at Moses' disposal. Moses is at God's disposal. If someone's going to ring the bell, it's going to be God, not Moses. You know, if someone, look, some Christians are devoted to God as long as God's plans fit with their plans. Some Christians are devoted to God as long as it's not too inconvenient, or he doesn't ask too much of me. Some Christians are devoted to God, but they just can't sit still long enough and trust God. God's trying Moses' patience. And God is testing Moses' devotion. Number three, God's training Moses. He's trying him, he's testing him, he's training him. Undoubtedly, God used those 6 days to work in Moses the grace he would need to enter into the cloud. Was Moses a presumptuous man who would just run into the cloud? Or did he understand his position and the Lord's power and the Lord's position of preeminence? I think sometimes, folks, we're just a little flippant with God. I think we live in a day and an age where a lot of churches are promoting that idea that God, the Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire. The Bible tells us that God is holy and righteous altogether. And I think sometimes we don't have the respect for God that we should and the reverence that we should. God's training Moses. I believe Moses learned things about God when he waited. You know, sometimes you learn more waiting than you do working. Working is easy part, but waiting is the hard part. And God had to train Moses to wait and then wait some more. According to verse 17, let's read it. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. You just don't walk into that. God had to prepare Moses for that. I've met people, you know, they want to be in a ministry. They got saved yesterday and they want to be a pastor tomorrow. Or they're young or they're immature or they just haven't had a lot of teaching and don't know a lot of things and they want to have a ministerial position somewhere or a ministry within the local church. They're not ready. They got to wait. You just can't walk in and become a Sunday school teacher just because you're saved. So God's training him. Only those who wait, as Moses waited, to be called into the cloud are ready to appreciate and enjoy the intimate fellowship with God and receive wisdom to lead. Time in God's waiting room is well spent because it's time of reflection. It's time of prayer. It's time of preparation for the tasks ahead, even if you don't know what they are. We are to move at the snap of God's fingers. Now, God most greatly uses prepared vessels. And grace is developed in waiting. Proverbs 24:7 says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thy house. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That takes time, doesn't it? Takes time. Remember, God has been taking a lifetime to prepare Moses. Remember that? When Moses was a little baby, he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And you remember that he was raised in the courts of Pharaoh? And then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. Remember that? And now he's spending another 40 days waiting outside the cloud. God's been having Moses wait for a long time. Why? Because God had a great work for him to do. And God had to prepare him. God had to train him. God's not in a hurry. Don't rush him. And don't rush ahead of him. See, a great evangelist one time said, God is thorough. And in order to be thorough, it takes time. God is thorough, and God is not in a hurry. And when we're not in a hurry, we're waiting on him. It shows our trust, doesn't it? Lastly, number four, not only is he training Moses, he's teaching Moses. What do you suppose God's teaching Moses? Well, how about not to be in a hurry, as I just said? Listen, God will not circumvent his plan or compromise his righteousness to accommodate man's impatience. I want you to notice that God spoke to Moses on the seventh day. And if you remember your Bible, Samuel came to Saul on the seventh day. Seven in the Bible is the number of completion. 6 days God used to create the heavens and the earth, but it was not complete until the seventh day, or the day of rest. Amen. You say, why are there 7 days in a week? Because God made it that way. Amen. He created for 6 days, seventh day he rested. That makes 1 week. God knows when to do things, and he always does things in the fullness of time. He always does things at the best time. God came to earth as a child of a virgin in the fullness of time. Do you understand that? Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the fullness of time. He wasn't born 1 second too early. He wasn't born 1 second too late. He was born in the fullness of time. And if you read that story, you see God working through that whole thing, don't you? Christ was crucified on the cross in the fullness of time. He didn't die 1 minute too early. He didn't die 1 minute too late. He died at the fullness of time. He rose from the dead in the fullness of time. And he's coming back again, guess when? In the fullness of time. Jesus isn't going to come 1 minute too early, and he won't come 1 minute too late. He's going to come right on time. But it'll be God's time. When preparing a vessel or a work, God does so in the fullness of time, according to his timetable. And he expects us to wait on him. Lord, why are you taking so long? He knows what he's doing. Lord, why haven't you done something by now? He knows what he's doing. He wants you to wait. He wants you to trust. He wants you to obey. He wants you to mature. Perhaps this morning you're waiting on God to accomplish something in your life. Perhaps this morning you're waiting on God for an open door. Perhaps this morning you're waiting on God for an answer to prayer, and it seems like he's taking forever. But I promise you, he'll answer it in the fullness of time. He'll answer it at the right time, the right way, for the right reason. My dear friend, if we have charge of that, we mess everything up anyway, don't we? Don't you think it would be smart if we just trust the Lord for some timing instead of ourselves all the time? Don't get discouraged. God knows what he's doing. Be like Moses and patiently wait on the Lord and allow this time of waiting to do its work in you. You know what excites me about all this? It's the fact that this is what God is doing with each one of us. And that's what God is doing with this ministry. Don't you think I'd like to be running 500 right now? And I could get discouraged and say, Lord, what's taking so long? God knows what he's doing. We need to be right where he wants us to be, doing just what he wants us to do until he opens the door to answer our prayer. God is trying, he's testing, he's teaching, he's training his servants. Each in just the right way and for the right amount of time to be used to the greatest of their potential and to the greatest of his power. Remember, God has a reason and a plan. He has a time, and sometimes, perhaps more than not, it includes waiting and waiting and waiting. Our hurrying and impatience cannot improve upon God's plan. If anything, it will actually delay it. It's like the little child who breaks away from the parent and goes running off ahead, only to stumble and fall. You know, they want to go to the park. And they can't hold on to your hand. You know, you're an old person. You're walking too slow. They can't wait to get to that park. And they pull their hand out and they start running to the park. They trip. They fall. They scrape their knee. So what does that do? Now it delays you getting to the park even more than if they'd have just went at grandpa's speed, right? Because now they got to clean it and bandage it and have to give them time to cry and they got to fix it all up. And now they're even later than they were before. Sometimes that's what we do. We try to run ahead of God. We get impatient with God. We don't wait on the Lord. And he has to go back and take even longer to get us where he wanted to get us because he has to do all this other stuff, fix up all this other stuff because we stumbled and fell. What if Moses had gotten impatient and would have left the mount? I'm sure he's glad he didn't. Waiting on the Lord is the thing that needs done. When God waits, we wait. Because God knows what he's doing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now let me ask you today, you're here today and you're a Christian. You're saved, you're born again, you know it for sure. Could you lift your hand up just as a testimony? Just lift it up and say, yes, praise the Lord, I know I'm saved, glory to God. Thank you, you can put them down. You ever find it hard to sit still? There will be times when God will need you to sit still. Can he count on you to? Can you trust God that he knows what he's doing and that he does things well and in the fullness of time? Can you trust God that in the waiting there's a purpose and in the silence there's a profit? Maybe this morning you say, I just need to trust God more with a particular circumstance or a particular prayer request. You raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to trust God more with this. I've been getting impatient and frustrated and discouraged. Thank you. You can put them down. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. Never been born again. You might say, well, I believe in God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the devil believes in God. It says the devils also believe and tremble. But they don't have a personal relationship with God. They believe in him. It's not enough just to believe in him. You have to have a personal relationship with him. Once a person is saved, they must learn to wait on God. But it's different with you. You need not wait on God because he's already done everything necessary for your sins to be forgiven and for you to have eternal life. He himself took on human flesh and gave his sinless life and shed his sinless blood on the Calvary's cross as the payment for your sin. He died, was buried, and rose again, and alone has the power and the authority to offer you the gift of eternal life by grace through faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he said on the cross, it is finished. Everything that needs to be done for a sinner to be saved, Jesus has done it. All that's left is for you to receive it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What about you? Have you received the gift of eternal life? The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Are you trusting in rituals, religion, good works, yourself, or something else? You say, preacher, I need to be saved and I know it, and I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior right now, right here. Right where you sit, in the privacy of your own heart and mind, you can trust Christ your Savior. You say, preacher, I want to do that. I'll help you. Let's pray together, you and I. Look up at me if that's what you want to do. You'd like to trust Christ as your Savior this morning. We'll pray together, and you can pray and trust Christ as your Savior right where you sit. Anybody like that here today? You're looking up because that's what you need to do. Do you need to do that? Is that what you need to do? You? No? Okay. All right, you're looking up, and you're saying, preacher, I need to pray and trust Christ as my Savior. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and surely that is true, because God cannot lie. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And so, Father, help us today. If there's anyone in our midst or anyone watching or listening who's never been saved, help them not to meet Jesus with just a filthy rags or their own self-righteousness. Help them to meet God having been forgiven and being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I pray, my Heavenly Father, you'd bless the invitation as only you can. Help us, Lord, in this area of waiting. Help us not to get frustrated, impatient. Help us not to give up and quit. Help us not to turn and run. Help us to stand and wait and allow you to have your way in our lives. I pray you'd bless now, my Father. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 458. And as we sing number 458 in your hymn book, perhaps you'd like to come before the Lord this morning and you'd like to say, Lord, here's the situation. Here's the prayer request. I've been impatient, Lord. I haven't been willing to wait. Maybe God wants you to come today and talk to him and say, Lord, I'm going to wait. I've been feeling like giving up. I've been feeling like quitting. I've gotten discouraged and frustrated. But I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait. Maybe you're wondering why God isn't doing more in your life or in your family. Maybe you need to come this morning and say, Lord, I'm not going to question you anymore. I'm just going to wait on you because I'm going to trust you that you know what's best. If you have any questions about going to heaven, you come and see me. We'll have someone talk to you about it, all right? As we sing on the first.